WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Mexico's president confirming the kidnapping of four American citizens caught in a gun battle after crossing the border Friday. White House spokesperson Corinne Jean-Pierre.
We are closely following the assault and kidnapping of four U.S. citizens in Matamoros, Mexico. These sorts of attacks are unacceptable.
No word about the Americans. While saying none of its freight cars that derailed Saturday near Springfield, Ohio, contained hazardous chemicals, Norfolk Southern says other cars did. Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown on the earlier disastrous wreck in East Palestine.
Norfolk Southern needs to commit, and especially to long-term health problems that might come to people in this community. They need to commit to pay for that, to bring this community back to normal as much as it can possibly be.
A passenger tried to open a door to the outside on a United Airlines flight last night. Court records say he also tried to stab a flight attendant. He was tackled and held until landing for police. This is ABC News. First a career in television, now politics.
People who watched TV in the 1990s may still think of Ben Savage as Corey Matthews, the character he played on Boy Meets World. But now Savage wants to add a new title, Congressman Ben Savage. The 42-year-old made it official in an Instagram post Monday. He's seeking the Democratic nomination for the House seat that's being vacated by Congressman Adam Schiff. Savage writes, it's time for new and passionate leaders who can help move our country forward. This will be Savage's second shot at running for office. He was unsuccessful last year in a bid for a seat on the West Hollywood City Council. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Having trouble with Twitter? Many users say they can't even log on today, or the system is slow to respond, social media site blaming an internal change that had some unintended consequences. National Weather Service's California, Sierra Nevadas have had their snowiest winter ever, and there's more snow in the forecast. Andy Field, ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media. Civic Media.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. After more than a month, about 60 people near Lac des Flambeaux are still blocked from driving to their homes. The Lac des Flambeaux Band of Lake Superior Chippewa put up roadblocks at the end of January. The roads are largely within the historical boundaries of the tribal reservation in Vilas County. Frustrations over the land dispute are growing. The race for Wisconsin Supreme Court is the most expensive in U.S. history at close to $19 million and counting. That includes the money raised by the campaigns themselves and outside groups.
Money is there just to get the message out. And I want all of Wisconsin to hear exactly what I'm saying and exactly what Janet's saying.
That's Dan Kelly on Capital City Sunday. His opponent, Janet Protasiewicz, blames the U.S. Supreme Court Citizens United ruling. In sports, the Badgers beat Minnesota last night. The Bucks beat Washington. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
Team Clean in Kewaunee reminds listeners the results of child abuse are devastating. Every year, millions of children are subjected to it and many die. For the survivors, the pain inflicted on them as children influences their lives. If you or anyone you know needs help, call your local child abuse hotline. This message is from Team Clean in Kewaunee. Give them a call today at 920-255-5975. 920-255-5975. A safe and healthy childhood should last a lifetime.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
it's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Fox Valley regional and state news and commentary for us to find common ground. Civic Media.
Your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected on the Civic Media Network. CivicMedia.com.
The indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is supported by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we're here live in the Macho Horus Studio here in St. Paul, which means blue clay land in Ho-Chunk, my tribe's language, and we're really surprised and happy that we've been on the radio this long. And without getting any further, Wendy, why don't we get with Zoe with the news and that you don't hear anywhere else. I'm having trouble talking, even though I did so well on that voiceover today.
You did. Did you hear that?
That was good.
The howling for wolves.
Oh. All right. Hey, Zoe with the news.
Bonjour, relatives. This is Zoe Allen. I am a citizen of the Rosebud Sioux Nation, as well as a descendant of the White Earth Nation. And our first story today actually comes from Minneapolis. It's pretty heavy, but I just ask everyone to listen with care. So according to NPR News, today hundreds of students held a walkout and gathered in downtown Minneapolis to demand the investigation of Khalil A. Ajad's death. Ajad was a 24-year-old Black man who was found dead in Crystal Lake, Minnesota in July 2022, only 2 days after the Robbinsdale police had pulled him over for a traffic stop. The Hennepin County Medical Examiner has determined back in October that Ajad had died due to freshwater drowning. And Ajad's family is very suspicious of this ruling and definitely expects foul play. Authorities had initially reported that Ajad fled the scene after pulling him over when he hit a tree around 1:27 on July 3rd, 2022. The authorities deployed K-9 units through the Plymouth Police Department. They searched for Ajad for around 30 minutes, along with a state patrol helicopter. Police have stated that they did not find him until July 5th, 2 days later, when they received a call that there was an unknown body in Crystal Lake. After viewing extremely graphic photos that were included in the autopsy report, Ajad's family has questioned the medical examiner's reported cause of death. And late last month, the family held a press conference to demand an independent investigation into his death, as well as the release of all body cam footage. The grassroots activist organization, MN Teen Activists, hosted a march today to provide a larger platform for the family to express their wants and demands. Students went on to also demand that all the video evidence from the police chase, including body camera, dash cam, traffic lights, and helicopter footage, be released. One student who was at the protest, Nydia Abraham, was quoted saying that she's tired of being out here and doing the same thing over and over. She went on to say that the voices of the students are important, but it feels like they're not being listened to. Just last week, the Robbinsdale Police Department said it would be releasing the footage soon, as they've also requested that the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension conduct an independent review of the case. And as of yet, they have not released the footage, and soon isn't really an exact date. So we'll definitely be updating all of our listeners as that case develops. It's horrible, horrible. Tragedy that has occurred and has occurred too many times in this state. Just every week it feels like there's something else and nothing has really changed, which is really discouraging. But I think activists like, you know, the group MNT Activists are really important to follow, as well as like Unicorn Riot, to make sure you're getting updates on these developing situations. You can also follow them on Instagram at MN Teen Activists. And in more national news, according to Native News Online, leaders of the Native American Church are demanding the Biden administration to uphold their commitment to protecting peyote habitats. So last week, leaders from the country's largest intertribal religious organization met with federal officials to urge them to uphold Native rights to use peyote in religious ceremonies. Peyote usage for Native Americans is actually protected under the 1978 American Indian Religious Freedom Act, which protects the rights of Native Americans to exercise their traditional religions and also ensures access to sacred sites and the use and possession of sacred objects. So the Native American church has over 300,000 members and uses peyote ceremonially. Peyote is currently classified as a Schedule 1 substance and is illegal for non-Native people to use, actually. According to the Native American church leaders, the federal government is once again not upholding its side of the law. One leader spoke to how the American Indian Religious Freedom Act is being violated by both clinical and pharmaceutical interests, an issue that actually has become increasingly worrisome, Robert, as more states have started loosening and revisiting their drug laws, especially as it pertains to marijuana. But we're also seeing other states, like I believe Washington State has decriminalized or maybe even legalized the use of hallucinatory drugs such as mushrooms or psilocybin for, you know, clinical trials to help with mental illness disorders, which is actually really promising. But when it regards, you know, peyote, it's a sacred medicine that only, you know, Native people should have right to use. It becomes more of an issue in regards to a case like this, which I think is something that a lot of people aren't talking about when it comes to revisiting drug laws. Peyote is a hallucinogenic cactus, and it only grows on private lands in southern Texas. So it's a very limited area that it grows in, and that's why it needs to be really protected. It also takes about 8 to 10 years to mature to be able to be used. So therefore, the Native American church leaders are urging the Interior, Agriculture, and Justice Departments of the U.S. to take initiative in order to protect the continued use of the plant for enrolled citizens of federally recognized tribes. The Native American church is requesting $5 million in federal funding for a new program to be established either by the USDA's existing Conservation Reserve Program or as a standalone grant program to be administered by the Department of Interior's Office of the Assistant Secretary of Indian Affairs. So you know, Native American rights are kind of under attack on every level, it seems like, lately, you know, Robert. It's just been hit after hit, especially when it comes to, of course, our lands. But it's scary to think about something as special as our ceremonies also being potentially threatened in times like these.
Well, that reminds me, Zoe, of like the onslaught of sage and our medicines, too, that you see in places like Patina and all these other places. We got a minute left. What else do you got for us, Zoe?
Yeah, really quick. Some good news, which is that the U.S. Department of Interior has sought to restore wild and healthy populations of bison across the state, or across the country. So Interior Secretary Deb Haaland has issued a secretary's order that allocates over $25 million from the Inflation Reduction Act to fund restoration projects. So we'll definitely have more updates on that as that develops as well. And this has been Turtle Island News with Zoe Allen. Chimiigwech for listening.
Wow, great job as always, Pinigigi Zoe. Up next, we got Wendy with our sacred animals, our relatives, and then we have Dr. Stately later on.
Stay with us.
We'll be right back.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
No one should have to choose between a paycheck and their health. Whether it's for a new baby, an unexpected illness, or an aging parent, Minnesotans deserve time to care for themselves and their families. That's why Minnesota Democrats are fighting for all working people to have paid family and medical leave. Learn more about how Democrats are standing up for working families and small businesses at paidleavemn.org. That's paidleavemn.org. Paid for by Minnesota AFL-CIO.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Oh, good one, Zoe. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's now a part-time contributor to the show, but, you know, it seems like you've been the last week and a half, you've been on an awful lot, so I appreciate it and appreciate you. And we started the show, Wendy, way over 6 years ago, and you've been on everyone, and just a great, you know, wherever we go out in the public, people are like, either where, if I'm not with you, it's like, where's Wendy? Or you have your own fans, like when we had our booth at the fair, all those people coming up to the booth wanting to know where you are. And
I appreciate that.
Yeah, so big part of the show. I learn something every time, so I can't wait to hear what you have. I remember that one time, it was about a year ago, Wendy, when it was really hard to listen to one of you. Remember you had those facts, and it was just like everyone was like, oh,
doom
my
and gloom,
God.
Yeah.
And then
I try to mix it up.
Well, let's go with our sacred animal. Welcome, Wendy with our sacred portion of our sacred animal portion of our show.
Hey, everybody. Hi, my name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the state and local level. And I found an article today, and I've been, Robert and I, we watch the news every night, and we're watching this devastation of the earthquake that happened in Turkey and Syria. And every day, it kind of astonishes us that there are still people and animals being rescued and found still alive, even though the first earthquake on February 6th, that was the first one. So they're still pulling people and animals out of that, and that the Humane Society International, it's like a cousin of the Humane Society of the United States, is there now helping doing some rescuing, which is really an awesome thing. And I just want to, send my heartfelt prayers to all the people in Turkey and Syria and all the people working there to do all the rescuing. I think that they said there's over 50,000 people who have been killed so far. That's just, I can't even imagine how.
Well, they even had a week or 2 weeks later, those aftershocks too.
Yep. Yeah, and they weren't little aftershocks. They were pretty devastating ones. I have an article here from the Humane World. That's Kitty Block's blog. That she is the president and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States. And this is dated March 1st. And she talks about the earthquakes and about Humane Society International being there and helping with the rescue. And I just want to tell a couple of really quick stories of happiness. So there was this woman, her name is Rumi, and Rumi said that her cat, Layla, woke her up moments before the earthquake hit, and Rumi was able to jump out of the window and get to safety. She also got her cat out as well. But she broke her leg and was rescued herself. And with all the chaos and everything going on during that time, Rumi and her cat Layla got separated. And Rumi had to go a whole hour away to the rescue, to the place where she could get help for her leg. And she was gone there getting help. And she was really put out so many pleads on Facebook to get her cat Layla back. And there is a woman who is running the rescue team. Her name is Kelly Donathan. She was leading the rescue efforts in the region. So she contacted Rumi and asked Rumi to record her voice calling Layla repeatedly over and over again. And with this voice recording in hand, Donathan arrived at the location where Rumi's house had once stood. And at dusk, Donathan played the recording of Rumi's voice over and over again. And finally, Layla emerged from among the broken buildings.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, that's a positive story.
It is a positive story. And you know what? It's our pets. I know, like, when I'm away at a town and you ask me to say hello to the dogs. Well, Gracie can't really hear that well anymore, but you always tell me that Wanda like can hear me and she gets excited to hear my voice.
Heck, I get excited.
So that's really nice. But the team, the HS Humane Society International team, brought Layla to one of the field veterinary hospitals where she got food and water and everything. And then they were, Rumi and her cat Layla were brought together again. So isn't that awesome? They also have a story here of a pregnant dog who gave, and we saw this on the news, the pregnant dog who gave birth to the dog puppies, and they were all rescued and brought to safety and is going to be adopted. So I'm really happy about that. But I was really looking around. You know, Robert, we talked about this so many times. This is from Euronews.green. This is dated February 7th, 2023. And it's a fact check. Did animals detect the Turkey and Syria earthquake before they happened? And can animals detect earthquakes early? Videos have emerged of animals acting strangely before the devastating earthquake that struck Turkey and Syria. The footage appears to show dogs barking and birds flying irregularly in the lead up to the tragedy, which has killed more than 50,000 people. And people often report abnormal behavior from animals in these lead up to earth tremors. But is there any science behind the sixth sense? And what does research say?
Is it cats, too? Look at, I got a cat right here.
The article that I'm reading here, let me see what the date is. They don't really talk about, right, this was also written by Charlotte Elton. Give everybody credit, but where credit is due, right? So February 17th, 2013. Have animals detected earthquakes early in the past? Around 50,000 detectable quakes occur in the world each year. I'm sorry, did I say 50,000?
Yeah.
Okay, that is wrong.
What?
Around 500,000 detectable quakes occur in the world each year.
Good correction.
I know, of which, that's a big mistake, of which roughly 100 cause damage. Seismologists have no way of knowing exactly when or where the next earthquake will hit, so the potential for animals to be early warning systems is interesting. But the idea that animals can predict earth tremors is not new. In 373 BC, a Roman author wrote about how snakes, mice, and insects fled the city of Helike before it was destroyed by earthquakes.
Oh.
Yeah, so this has been going
snakes
on a long
too,
time.
Snakes too, huh?
Yes. Well, because they live underground and they burrow. More recently, hibernating snakes again abandoned the Chinese city of Helike prior to the 7.3 magnitude earthquake in 1975. In 2016, thousands of birds took flight before an earthquake struck Oklahoma. Wow. Animals might sense earthquakes seconds earlier. Science suggests that animals may be able to sense internal tremors seconds or minutes earlier. When an earthquake hits, seismic waves emanate out of the tremor epicenter. Primary waves, the first waves to be felt, are smaller and go largely undetected by humans, right?
Wow.
Us humans are busy. We're talking, we're moving, we're walking, we're driving. We don't hear anything. We don't know what's going on, right?
Plus, I'm getting hard of hearing.
Exactly. They precede more violent secondary waves that shakes the ground and tumbles the building. That's when we know what something's going on. Animals who have more accurate senses of hearing and smell than humans may feel these seconds or minutes before humans. Elephants and birds, for example, might feel the low frequency sound of the waves and vibrations from weak foreshocks, whereas rodents can hear the high frequency sounds that emanate from shattering rocks. But could animals sense earthquakes early enough to act as an early warning system? Researchers suggest it's unlikely. A 2018 bulletin of Seismologists Society of America reviewed and examined 180 previous studies and found that the correlation between animal behavior and earthquake tremors was largely anecdotal. The study clearly demonstrates strong weaknesses or even deficits in many of the published reports on possible abnormal animal behavior, the authors wrote. But there's more, and I will tell you another time.
Yes. Wow, that was That was some things I didn't know. I know when tsunamis came up, all the birds and animals flew away way before the tsunami hit.
But so, as I'm reading this article, I'm finding there's more and more people who are saying that the animals act differently before these tragedies happen.
Oh, wow. Like they ask for different kind of treats and things like that?
They act agitated. Yeah. They move around. They run. They bark.
Hey, up next, Dr. Stately. Thank you, Wendy Pinigigi, for that update and really interesting. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Bringing.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Mexico's president confirming the kidnapping of four American citizens caught in a gun battle after crossing the border Friday. White House spokesperson Corinne Jean-Pierre.
We are closely following the assault and kidnapping of four U.S. citizens in Matamoros, Mexico. These sorts of attacks are unacceptable.
No word about the Americans. While saying none of its freight cars that derailed Saturday near Springfield, Ohio, contained hazardous chemicals, Norfolk Southern says other cars did. Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown on the earlier disastrous wreck in East Palestine.
Norfolk Southern needs to commit, and especially to long-term health problems that might come to people in this community. They need to commit to pay for that, to bring this community back to normal as much as it can possibly be.
A passenger tried to open a door to the outside on a United Airlines flight last night. Court records say he also tried to stab a flight attendant. He was tackled and held until landing for police. This is ABC News.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained. This is Civic Media.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Dan Kelly once said abortion promotes sexual promiscuity and that government assistance is stealing. The Journal Sentinel found a number of Kelly's assertions in a blog called Hang Together. Kelly was a contributor between 2012 and 2015. The campaign spokesman says Kelly's views are his own and he can set them aside when deciding cases. The race for Supreme Court is the most expensive in U.S. history at close to $19 million and counting. That's money raised by the campaigns themselves and outside groups.
It's the world that we live in, quite frankly. Ever since the Citizens United case, was decided by the United States Supreme Court, outside money can come into these races.
Janet Protasiewicz on Capital City Sunday. Dan Kelly says money helps get candidates' messages out. In sports, the Badgers beat Minnesota last night. The Bucks beat Washington. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
5 hours of special spring primary election coverage. A dozen reporters, hosts, and political experts tracking results for you around Wisconsin.
Everything from your local races to the Supreme Court.
Janet Protasiewicz and Dan Kelly moving on to the general election.
Coverage you won't find anywhere else. And we're doing it all again for the important general election in April.
Elections or anytime, we're here for you. Your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
The Rick Smith Show. Where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here with Dr. Stately. We have not talked to Dr. Stately in, seems like forever. And, you know, a lot's been going on at the Capitol and all over Turtle Island. And I know I was in, welcome, Dr. Stately, and he's the CEO of the Native American Community Clinic in Minneapolis in the Twin Cities here. And Dr. Stately, I was in, I was at Wounded Knee, and all the stores made you wear masks going in there. It was really, really quite refreshing and interesting. Welcome, as always.
Oh, thank you so much. Nice to be here. It's only been 2 weeks, not forever, just 2 weeks.
But I miss you. You know that.
I know. Well, you know, I miss you too.
Aww.
So I'm glad we got to connect. Yeah, I saw on Facebook you were like, I was like, he's in Wounded Knee. And then I think a couple days before that you were somewhere else. And I was like, this guy really gets around.
Yeah, I take after you, hockey father. There, I see you all over too. And then when I'm in Shakopee, then I don't see you. It's just a weird world we live in.
It is odd, I know. Well, I actually don't live in Shakopee, though. That's probably why you don't see me there. just kidding.
Oh, wow.
But yes, it is odd because it's like right in my backyard here. So, yeah, I'm like you. I'm always on the go.
Yeah, you like, are. That's awesome.
It's the, life of a, it's the life of a hockey dad. Always going somewhere.
Well, how are those hockey players doing?
They're doing well. Like, well, the one boy, Chaske, his junior varsity was over 2 weeks ago. So when junior varsity doesn't go to playoffs or go to state tournaments, any of that stuff, any regionals, they don't do that at the junior varsity level, which is kind of odd to me, quite frankly, but okay. But the other boy, Quatley, is they're headed to state in a week or so.
Wow.
They're the third place seed for the state tournament. We played against St. Thomas Academy, which is a really, really tough team. We won 2-1.
It was like, wow.
Yeah, it was like a tough game. It was really hard. So we, the hard fought won, but we did it. And so we won that game, and it was our wild card, our ticket to the state.
So how many games have to win to get on to play in downtown St. Paul?
Well, our junior gold team won't play in downtown St. Paul, much to their – both of them are very disappointed about this. They are very proud of the fact that they've achieved what they've achieved, but their goal is they want to play in high school – hockey playoffs for high school state tournament. Their goal is to play at the XL Energy Center someday, and they're working hard to do it. So,
Wow, that's and they're young and they have some time. There are some pilots, some of my relatives, of course. I was an ankle skater, so I never made it on the team, but there's some pilots that played on that tournament over the years, and it's electric. It's unbelievable. Back and forth, it's unbelievable hockey.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to love any other sport after you like are a hockey dad or mom, because I think it is just it's the one of the fastest moving games. You know, it's I guess the closest thing would be, I don't know, the action of football,
rollerball, with James Caan.
Yeah, maybe rugby. The tenacity and the pure raw energy of rugby, and roller derby at the same time, because you're like knocking. Your main purpose is to get the puck, and even if you have knocked people down and slam them against the glass and all that other stuff at this level, anyway. So
right,
it's really exciting. It brings me joy to watch them play because I know that they love it so much. Mm-hmm. So it isn't something I would naturally sort of gravitate towards, you know.
Right.
I'm more of a like. I mean, I enjoy the eating of hot dogs, talking with people and visiting, and the drinking of, you know, beverages that comes with something sedentary like baseball.
But my kids
just were not into that, so it's okay.
No. But, you know, being an athlete, you can always go to other sports, too, or, you know.
Yeah,
I was a natural athlete, so I was not good at everything.
Yeah. I was a natural athletic supporter.
Wait a minute. Where's that? Here it is.
Where's Didi Khan? Yeah.
Oh, I thought I had a drum. Oh, there's the drum. I have a drum.
There you go. Yeah.
A little slow on the move there.
But, I went to Bemidji last Monday, which is why I couldn't be with you last week. I was in Bemidji. I gave a talk at the BSU in their insect department. But I also took a little tour of the campus, and it's a nice little campus. And I didn't know this, but they're a D1 hockey program. So,
wow.
And I also had forgotten that Zach Whitecloud was at BSU, and he was recruited from BSU at, by the Las Vegas Golden Knights. So I was like talking to my sons after I got back. I was like, I think you should probably think about, you know, BSU. It's a small college, not too big, a little more manageable, and it's a D1 team. So they're giving it some thought.
Yeah. Well, I remember when St. Cloud became a D1 team. That was huge when Herb Brooks went up there and shook it up a little bit. And, So we have a lot of. I don't know who I was talking to. I think I was talking to Matt McNeil before the show, and we were talking about at one time the Gophers were the big thing, and everyone, when Woog was the coach, he only recruited Minnesota players, and I know that's changed over the years, but. Now there's so many places the Minnesota players can play in Division I.
Minnesota puts more people in professional hockey too than any other state in the United States. So,
yeah, that's Wendy. Yeah. That's why this is the state of hockey, Minnesota. Yeah. Yes,
that's amazing.
That and the 10,000 frozen lakes help too. So.
Right. Well, they're slushy now, and they have been with global warming, so it's hard. I remember skating for a long time, and it seems like the winters are quick and abusive, but they're quick, and the cold weather doesn't last like it used to.
Yeah, it seems like every year more and more fish houses end up in the lake.
And cars. Jeez. Am I laughing? I didn't mean to laugh.
You could be instead of describing the weather, you could be describing all of my relationships in my 20s.
Drowning
quick,
in the lake.
Abusive, drowning in.
Wow.
Never stick around.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Hey, you were at the Capitol. Yeah.
I was at the Capitol last week, and, you know, talking with legislators and folks about our bill, but other bills too, talking about healthcare writ large, all those important things to sort of like think about and consider when you're having a global pandemic. I do like that. You know, both sides of the house are really focused on workforce and, you know, expanding, you know, helping employees get back to work and stay at work and do all those other things, although they arguably have different sort of lenses and approaches to how they would accomplish that. But I really do think like it would be fundamentally important for us to really bite off, supporting, rebuilding our healthcare workforce and our healthcare system, like it was pretty damaged and, impacted and gutted by COVID. And, you can have a lot of things in your life, but if you don't have access to good healthcare or good health, like, all the money in the world isn't going to help you. All the wealth, you can have as many, you can fill your entire garage with toilet paper, but if you don't have good health, it really is that toilet paper is useless. So I think there's like, I'm that's a play on, the fact that people were farting toilet paper at the beginning of the
pandemic. Let me get the drum again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. But, you know, one of the things I think that my message to some of the legislators I met with over the last few weeks is like, you know, we don't have health and wellness, and we don't have, you know, if we don't have health, we don't have a lot of things. We don't have, longevity. We don't have competition. We don't have, those other things. All those things are built on the ability for us all to be, able to care for ourselves, care for each other, and rebuild the economy and participate as good relatives with each one another. So I'm hoping to see a much more robust sort of like investment in health and well-being.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's get ready here to take a break, and I know it's great here in Minnesota because we have the trifecta. We have all those things happening, and we have our relatives that are listening, and we have a lot of allies out there too, which I'm really happy. When Wendy and I were down at the Capitol, and I'll be there tomorrow morning doing a thing on smudging and tobacco in classrooms that we did, and I did in St. Paul, regardless of what people thought. But it was weird because of all the racist comments by some teachers, like, oh, it smells like pot. Who's smoking pot down there? And it's like, wow.
Yeah, explain to the audience, Robert, what smudging is and why you do it.
Well, we'll do that, and we'll have Dr. Stately do that on the next segment here. Why don't we do that? Awesome. And hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're with Dr. Stately. We're with Wendy and Zoe. We got our own trifecta going here. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Ho-wah.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
No one should have to choose between a paycheck and their health. Whether it's for a new baby, an unexpected illness, or an aging parent, Minnesotans deserve time to care for themselves and their families. That's why Minnesota Democrats are fighting for all working people to have paid family and medical leave. Learn more about how Democrats are standing up for working families and small businesses at paidleavemn.org. That's paidleavemn.org. Paid for by Minnesota AFL-CIO.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Senior Linkage Line is a free statewide service of the Minnesota Board on Aging in partnership with Trellis. I have volunteered with seniors nearly 15 years, working alongside their compassionate team. I am honored to partner with Trellis as we help our elders find housing, compare costs of Medicare prescriptions, and learn how to avoid fraud and scams targeting seniors. We help our elders optimize well-being as they age, and we can help you too. Reach out today at trellisconnects.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
And this portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
That was crazy.
I wanted to get Dr. Stately to howl.
Right on.
That's why I did it again.
Hey, Dr. Stately, you're the CEO of the Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And I was talking a little bit when we were ending here. I want to hear your take, and maybe you can educate our audience out there, because we have a lot of progressive allies out there listening to the show all over Civic Media Network, and of course here in the Twin Cities too. Just what smudging and tobacco mean to us as natives.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you asking me to do that. Well, I think that it's important to note that tobacco and sweetgrass and also sage, that those things are some of our first medicines that were given to us by Creator. Sage and cedar both are actually cedar as well. So those four medicines are our first medicines. Sage, cedar, and sweetgrass. Those can all be used independently of each other, but also I've seen people use them in combination when they smudge. Sometimes they all have different properties to them. Some of them are, some of those things actually have been also been found to scientifically have some veracity in the things that we would say that they were good for. So like cedar and sage both purify. Right, they have purification qualities to them, and we use those as well as sweetgrass in our ceremonial processes when we're praying, in preparation for prayer and preparation for ceremony, kind of cleansing ourselves, and also cedar. I've been taught that cedar is actually a medicine that we use to sort of kind of invite spirit in. Right. Whereas the others sort of kind of like maybe take, have properties of sort of like clearing away bad energy and those kinds of things. Cedar is a medicine we use in all kinds of ceremonies, like the sweat lodge and a few other ways to invite in the ancestors and the spirits in the process of praying and asking for help from Creator.
Right.
And then tobacco is a plant. So, and we're talking non-commercial tobacco, of course, right? So non-commercial tobacco, not the kind that has nicotine in it, like your Chundis, your Marlboros, your whatever, which a lot of people use. And a lot of people use those commercial tobacco products to offer up prayers because they don't have access to traditional tobacco, or it's not readily available to them. And so, we use tobacco to sort of like, offer up a prayer, ask for, ask Creator for assistance and help, offer prayers for people, relatives who depart, send them on a good path, on that star path back to Creator. We use tobacco in all kinds of ways, to sort of like bring our prayers directly to Creator. When we smoke it in a pipe, we are said to have our prayers and our intentions, spoken or not spoken, embedded in that smoke that goes up to the heavens and goes and dissipates to our ancestors and to Creator.
All right. And I know it's different for a lot of different tribes too, because Ho-Chunk pretty much flat cedar smudging. And also one of the things too that if I would want my child named, I would give tobacco to an elder and ask him.
Yep.
And if he can't or he can't do it, he would give back the tobacco.
Yeah. So yeah, whenever we ask a spiritual person or we ask for a gift, like a name or something else, someone to make our moccasins for us or something like that we might use in ceremony or in dancing, wrap the tobacco in red cloth and offer it to the person that you're asking to make those things for you. It's a way of sort of paying respect and also acknowledging the giving of something and the receiving of something. Reminds us to sort of like be humble in our approach to others and to recognize that we all are on the same level with one another. Like we all have our talents, right, and our gifts.
And I've done that where tobacco to a lead singer around and he would put it on the drum for our family and thinking good thoughts and things like that too.
I thought you were going to tell me you gave some to Beyonce.
No, Bruce Springsteen. No, that was
there. Last you go. Yeah, Bruce Springsteen. I think one thing that I will say about NAC is that we have a very robust traditional healing program that we operate in the clinic that we put together. We have 5 or 6 spiritual care providers that work across our substance abuse treatment programs, our intensive outpatient treatment program. We also have a medication-assisted treatment program that we use Suboxone and other healing approaches with people struggling with opiate use disorder. And then we also have a elder in residence, a spiritual care provider who works in our behavioral health and mental health program and outpatient mental health program, and then across a number of other areas. And we host in partnership with relatives in our communities who are spiritual care providers, a number of ceremonies, like this week on the 7th, I think, which is tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow.
Yep.
We'll have a full moon ceremony for women. Actually, this month we'll hold 2 because it is a blue moon month, where we'll have 2 full moons in the month of March.
Wow.
And then we'll also we also have a cedar ceremony where we cleanse people and give them a cedar bath, and there's a whole, you can do that collectively in a big group. And we have a few other things that we do. So check out our website and look for any of our traditional healing programs. They're all posted on our website and also our Facebook page. So.
That's huge. I mean, just this, the sound of it, but just knowing how, you know, how we're affected by outside things, and that really makes it more of an inside job of healing. That's awesome.
I think the remarkable thing about what we're doing now, and NAC isn't the only one that does some of this. We have a number of other organizations in the Twin Cities and across the state that do this work with the Native people they serve. But what's remarkable and profound about it is that, think about it from, like, you know, when I was a kid growing up, I didn't have any knowledge or access.
Dr. Stately just froze up, but he was going to say he didn't have any knowledge about this or access to this. And, mm-hmm. you know, the Native American Community Clinic is offering that. I know, Zoe, you kind of were involved in peripheral of what was going on there with the healing. What are your thoughts by the time we get Dr. Stately back here?
Yeah, no, I think it has huge only benefit to the community to be able to bring some of those ceremonies here and make sure that all of our relatives have access, because I think oftentimes the urban Indigenous community can feel a little left out from, like, the reservation community, for instance, because we have so much ceremony going on up north and then not enough happening down here when we really need a lot of healing. So it's really cool to see that they're doing this. And I just looked up the event, tomorrow night, Tuesday, March 7th is the full moon ceremony that Dr. Stately was just talking about. It's 6 to 7. If you go on their website, look under the events, it'll be on their calendar, and they have a good, nice little flyer with, some contact info if you have any questions. But if you are planning on going to moon ceremony, you know, women only or Femme identifying folks, usually young men can come too, just that you'd learn from the firekeeper and you wouldn't be a part of, because it's a woman's ceremony. And then make sure you bring a ribbon skirt or just any long skirt if you don't have one, and maybe a feast bundle too if you have one, which is just bowl, plate, knives, just to, you know, lessen the load on dishes or styrofoam. So yeah, that's what I'd recommend if you're
and that is at the ceremony. Native American Community Clinic.
Yeah, where is that, Zoe?
Native American Community Clinic. I do not know the address, but I know it's on Franklin.
Yeah,
Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
Well, you know, I think it's really exciting, Zoe, that your generation gets to witness this and be a part of this. So, again, I want to thank Dr. Stately, Wendy, Zoe for the news, Wendy for all she does. And I want to thank myself, because this has been a rocking show and really great information. You're listening, you know, we're the seventh generation. We're still here, Wendy.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Now, we'll be back tomorrow. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. See you.
Leprechauns and Wisconsinoids. Leprechauns and Wisconsinites have a lot of things in common. We both look good in green. Chicks dig our accents.
You're cute.
And we all love what's on the other side of the rainbow. Get your pot of gold when you sponsor our hourly weather forecasts on your local civic media station. That's 24 ads per day. One ad every hour right before the latest weather forecast. And right now, the prices on these premium sponsorships are slashed up to 50%. But you must act before March 15th to take part. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues. From the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media